Business English Handbook by Paul Emerson. Published by Macmillan Education, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited. Copyright Macmillan Publishers Limited, 2007.
1.
Interview with a venture capitalist.
I'd like to explain a little about venture capital and why I think the lack of a strong VC sector in Europe is holding back our economy, at least as far as the technology sector is concerned.
Very interesting. But before you begin, can you just explain how venture capital works? How it's different to other forms of financing like bank loans?
Let's think about the objectives of VC. The aim is to take a stake in a small startup company and then to sell this stake at a profit in the future, perhaps 3 or 4 years down the line. We need a clear exit strategy. We have absolutely no interest in keeping our stake for the long term.
So how exactly do you sell your stake? When does it happen?
There are two options. Either at IPO, when the company goes public, in which case we will sell to institutional and other investors who buy the shares, or in a trade sale, when a large company in the same sector buys the startup and the startup just becomes a part of the other company. Its name disappears.
Is venture capital interested in all startups?
Definitely not. Perhaps 95% of newly founded companies serve a small local market and will either stay small or grow slowly to become medium-sized companies. As venture capitalists, we're not interested in that kind of company. These companies will turn to banks for their financing.
So what kind of startup is a venture capital firm looking for?
We're looking for companies with enormous growth potential, with a breakthrough innovation that will allow them to become major players in some specific sector in the global economy. Typically, these small firms will have their origins in some sort of collaboration between university and the industrial world, and they are usually found in the IT and biotech sectors. Mm-hmm. This type of firm will have little or no income stream. They are developing a product or a process, and it's not on the market yet. Or maybe they have just a few pilot customers who are working with them to develop the product. So they need a source of financing. And that's where venture capital comes in. We're prepared to take a very big risk and fund the company.
And in exchange for this risk?
In exchange for the risk, we take a large stake in the company. Perhaps 80% of the shares. And in the future, we hope to sell these at a large profit. As I said earlier, we need to have an exit strategy.
Okay. So when you get involved, you take something like 80% of the shares, leaving 20% for the founders of the company.
That's right. To motivate a team of bright guys, you need to leave them with something like 20% of the company. But they are usually very happy with that. Remember that there is no money coming into the company. Nothing to pay the bills, nothing to buy equipment. Without VC, they have no company.
Okay. So, venture capital gets involved at an early stage. What role does a venture capitalist have in the management of a startup?
We don't get involved in the day-to-day running of the company. As I said, that's not our business. But we're a majority on the board, and we want to monitor the growth of the company. Initially, the most important thing is to get the human resources right, to make sure that the key people in the company are the very best. Then the next thing is to define the roadmap for the company, with the important milestones, perhaps first a working prototype, then the first customers, things like that. In fact, the venture capital will be released in 2 or 3 rounds of financing, as different key milestones are reached.
Then after some years, the company grows and you get to the point where you want to sell your stake, either as a trade sale or an IPO.
That's right. A trade sale is by far the most common. It's easier to look for a trade sale. Large international companies are very interested in buying successful startups who have already done all the hard work in developing a new product. It's like outsourcing their own R&D with no risk. They are buying a technology which would have taken them several years and a lot of money to develop themselves. In addition, they are also buying all those early customers.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a trend that is unstoppable. Large companies will buy in more and more innovation. That's how Intel and Microsoft grew. But it's also true for biotech. Right now, a lot of pharmaceutical firms are looking for drugs in phase 2 of development, just because their own internal line of new products is not enough to fulfill their future needs. In the pharmaceutical sector, all startups are looking to be bought because it makes absolutely no sense to become a standalone company.
So the situation is this. You have a small team of smart people working in a startup. They all know each other, and it's a very exciting environment. The focus is all on R&D. Then suddenly, they are bought by a larger company and find themselves dealing with bureaucracy, sitting in long meetings and with reports to write. How do they react? Are they happy?
Well, of course they are very happy. Remember that they will have sold some of their shares as well, and they'll get a lot of money for that. Mm. It's their reward for all the years of hard work. They'll buy a new house and generally take their living standard to a new level. But, to be honest, in the case of a trade sale, I can say that most of the original founders of the company will leave within a few years. You're right, it's a big culture shock. They get used to being their own boss and working in a company where every minute is dedicated to what is really important. They have a lot of difficulty in adapting to a large corporate environment.
What happens to them?
They often start another new company.
So they're serial entrepreneurs?
Yes, that's exactly what they are.
So just to be clear, very few small companies with a high growth potential will go on to be a success in their own right through an IPO and a stock market listing. Instead, they'll all be bought and disappear as standalone companies, at least in the technology area.
Yes, that's the point I was making at the beginning. With a service company, it might be different. If it has a business model that is easy to understand, if it has a good revenue stream and the company is already profitable, then it will be able to have a successful IPO and go public. They will find investors to buy the shares. But in the technology sector, investors are not ready to take a risk. They see a breakthrough innovation and a bunch of R&D-oriented managers, and that's not enough. They think the only way forward is a trade sale. It's very difficult in Europe to do a technology IPO. In the US, it's different. The financial markets are quite happy to take the risk, and many startups go on to become world champions. That's the reason why they have so many successful companies in the technology area.